Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th day of April, Anno Domini 2020. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Before we get to the news, let me just remind you, this is the last week of our spring pledge drive. And that means this is your last chance to pledge around Soundbites. And next Saturday, the pledge drive will be over. And I know there are many of you dropping to your knees in Thanksgiving. I get that. But the reality is, we've said it before, and I'll keep on saying it until we make our goal. This show and this station do not exist without your help. It's you people that make this possible, and the way you make it possible is by pledging and becoming members. I get it. These are parlous economic times. Mm-hmm. I truly do get it. But the reality is it's just as parlous for us, and we need your help. So make a call. Make the pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And if you do that, by the way, you get to talk to the young and lovely Rob Linton. Hey, everybody, it's Rob will be on the phone.
The boss today. Is in the house.
The boss is in the house, and he's taking your phone call, so let's keep him busy.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to talk to Rob, believe me, I understand, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Look for the not insignificant donate now button and scroll down until you see the Soundbite stuff. And for those of you who, the hundreds and hundreds of you who listen to this podcast during the week and who watch the YouTube channel during the week, it's not too late. You know, you can call in and make that call in, or of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you're doing that, I will read a news item. That's fair. You do your part. I'll do my part.
Well, I just want to interject one other thing there that you were saying, though, that Rob has done for us, and that's got us the permission to be here live. We're not canning the programs, you know, and doing something that you heard months ago and, oh, yeah. No, the three of us doing the prescribed social distancing and everything else, we are here to take your questions. And we've been here for the past, through this whole thing. So, you know what? Like Nick was saying, it's your last chance to show how much you really appreciate, you know, us being here. I mean, we could easily, you know, like you folks, be home, feed up, relaxing, doing what we want in our own homes. But no, we're still taking the time out on a Saturday to come down here, take your calls, answer your computer questions, because we realize, if nothing else, you're using your computers in that far more right now, since this lockdown, than probably you would normally use on a weekly basis.
We've been joking about that at our office. We are considered an essential business. Cause imagine being stuck at home and your device is not working. We're running about 10 times our normal volume. A lot of iPhone screens we see are being dropped or thrown, depending on the situation.
Frustration level.
And frustration, yeah. I was actually, we've had a couple of doctors come in with their phones that have been, slipped and fallen. And I was in line somewhere behind a police officer, and they were asking him, you know, how's things going on? He said they're getting a lot of domestic calls now.
Yeah.
People have been stuck at home with their family so long, you realize you don't really like your family that much.
Another reason you don't work from home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. One of the things I've always said is the reason my marriage has lasted as long as it has is because we've got a big house.
Yeah.
There are just times when it's like, tell you what, you stay down here, I'll go upstairs.
Social distancing there, too. You were practicing it before it was
for
even
nearly
trendy.
40 years, exactly. All right. Okay, it's been a couple of years since people were able to crash iPhones and iPads simply by sending a few symbols in Telugu, which is a language. But now it appears Apple has another debilitating text bug that's causing problems for iOS devices. Yes, this is not a repeat of 2018. It's a whole new thing. The new issue. Stop. Don't quit your day job.
Give me a pound or I'll sing again.
The new issue stems from a handful of characters from the Sindhi language that when combined with the Italian flag and then sent to, how do they even find these? And then sent to an iPhone or iPad causes the device to lock up until it is hard rebooted or Apple's OS eventually performs an automatic recovery process, which can take a while. It seems this bug is caused by the way iOS handles notifications, which means it is possible to protect your device by going into settings and disabling all notifications. What makes this bug a little more frustrating is that the issue isn't limited only to Apple Messages, as the bug has largely been spread through third-party chat and communications apps like Telegram, Discord, and even Twitter. Thankfully, while Apple's new iOS text bug may be annoying, it doesn't seem to be causing any lasting damage or data loss. Additionally, it seems Apple is already aware of the issue and is working on a fix. The text bug does not seem to affect devices running the iOS 13.4.5 second beta, left elbow. Based on how Apple has addressed similar bugs in the past, we would expect it to push out a bug fix sometime in the next couple of weeks. So until then, if you don't want to completely disable your notifications, you may want to stay away from strange chats to protect yourself from getting bombed by some buggy text. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is iOS crashable via text. And your choices are, again, not a big deal, this must be fixed immediately, Apple, and other. So far, we've got 25 votes, and Apple is winning. If you'd said other, please head on over to our website, soundbites.org, and scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You will see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under the poll discussion is 25 April 20, iOS crashable via text. And, of course, you can give us a call once you've made your pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And of course, if you're pledging and you don't want to talk to a human being, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's got to be frustrating for Apple that people are finding these things.
Yeah.
And it's got clearly something to do with the iOS code, because it's not just iMessages this time. It's pretty much anything that will do a notification. And it isn't happening on Android phones, so it clearly has something to do with iOS itself.
We've seen some similar things on Android phones, too.
But this specific one, no.
Different.
So it's... I want to know how people are finding this. Did someone write a program to try every possible letter combination with every other possible letter combination in every
language?
It's
a lot of free time. That's
yes, that's the other thing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the problem now. So it's an issue that both operating systems are vulnerable to this sort of thing. This is the second big one we've seen with iOS, and part of it, of course, is that people will automatically. What is everybody pointing at? Okay. All right. So before we go much farther, remember, we are in a pledge drive. This is the last week. This is your last chance to pledge around Soundbites. Please help us keep this station on the air. Please help us keep this show on the air, just like Matthew did. And we would like to thank Jenna. Not Matt, Jenna. We would like to thank Jenna for this, and we're very, very grateful. Thank you. We're very pleased at this. Thanks.
And if you do pledge through the week, either by calling the station or using the online Pledge-O-Matic, there is a form, a box where you can put in 4 sound bites if you like. So
right.
When you're listening to the podcast, I do have to apologize to our podcast listeners. I forgot to hit the last publish button on last week's podcast. So it's been published now. So you're going to get two podcasts this weekend.
That's nice.
All right. We do have somebody texted in a question, and it says, when Greenlight connects to your house, do you need to run additional wires in your house? And if so, what type of wiring is needed?
Well, this is true of any ISP. It doesn't be specific for Greenlight. Generally, what the ISP does is they'll put their router or terminator box in one room in your house, typically in your office. A lot of them like to do it on an outside wall because that's where they can drill through your wall. And then people will put their wireless router next to that, next to the internet router. And if you have a larger house, you might have trouble getting that wireless to the other end of the house.
Right.
It's at one end. And if it has to go through the kitchen, that's bad because all that metal blocks the radio signal. So we've said for years that wireless is convenient. Wired is more efficient.
And faster.
And often faster, yep. So you can use Cat 5 or Cat 6 Ethernet cabling to string your devices around, or you can use your wireless router. One thing that they do recommend, and we've concurred, is that if it's been a while since you've replaced your wireless router, so if you've had internet for a long time in your house, you may only have an N router or you know, God forbid, a G router.
Yeah, right.
Take a look at your router, make sure it can handle the faster speeds. The N routers that were so common for so long were only 300 megabit. Which was fine when we had even 10 megabit cable. Right. Now that we're getting 100 megabit, 200 megabit, 500 megabit or more, you may need to get a new AC router that can handle the faster speeds.
And in addition to back up and to clarify, what comes into your house is fiber. But the little box they put in your house, what comes out of that is standard Ethernet cable.
Right.
So you could just simply replace whatever box you have now with this thing and plug your current Ethernet cable into that. And so you don't really need to rewire anything except, as Steve said, you might need a faster wireless router to get your whole house.
Unless your house was wired with 10 base T.
Yeah.
No, I had to.
Relatively unlikely.
Yeah.
I had to get the outdoor Cat 5 cable or 6 cable and run that from my router. I drilled back out. I had a hole. Went up the side of the house and into another room so I could get internet up there.
Right.
Granted, I had wireless, but I liked wired for the computer.
Wireless faster.
Yep.
I just talked to a friend today, and we were video chatting, and she kept dropping out. And I said, you know, 2 days ago when we chatted, everything was fine. You're on a fast fiber connection. What's going on? She said, my family kicked me out of the living room, and I'm upstairs in the spare room, and the signal doesn't reach here. I have to buy a new router. Yeah, okay, I get it.
I've had friends where their computer is literally sitting right next to the router, and they got Greenlight and were disappointed on the speed because they had a G router.
Right.
So they put and it was close enough they could have wired it, but they had a router there, so replace the router. Oh, my God, it's so fast.
Yeah, right. And, of course, you're never going to get gigabit out of wireless anyway.
Right.
You know, you're going to get 300 meg, maybe 400, depending on whatever's going on, but it's never going to be gigabit.
I still have, and it's a great problem to have, still trying to get used to the fast speed and downloads. I'm so used to sitting there watching, you know.
And you think the download doesn't work because you hit download and there's no progress bar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Normally I see, you know, the little window open up and you see it, you know, slowly ticking down as it downloads it.
You just got to download bigger files.
I did do a matter of fact, I did this one that it has literally in it seven other programs. And it's all in a zip file. And it's a pretty good size zip file, you know, to have seven other programs that it installs. But it literally went up on the screen, and I looked over, boom, it's going down. And then there's the icon on my desktop. So I unzipped it. Sure enough, everything was there, and boom. But the speed is just phenomenal.
You got to download those multi-gigabyte movies for offline viewing.
Ooh, yeah.
I get the truth.
Well, with the Amazon Prime, I mean, the movies in that you can watch, my wife is loving it. I mean, you know, because right now she's kind of confined to the house because of what she's going through. But, you know, that Prime is great. She's watching other programs and getting into binge watching, which is something.
Right.
She loves the cooking programs and everything else. So she's gotten addicted to that. And, you know, it's, oh, we got to try this, got to try that. Okay, whatever. But
it
yeah,
it's in so fast.
Well, that's the thing. We were so used to before when we had the other service, you know, we'd get to a channel and all of a sudden you'd see Sling and it's sitting there cycling and cycling and cycling because it's buffering. Now, that's not an issue. We just turn it on and boop, it's there. Okay.
Yep.
Happens too darn fast.
It does. It's very fast. All right, let me, before we get back to the phones, let me thank Catherine for her very generous donation. Thank you. And Al for his very generous donation. And you know what?
Mic is off?
Yeah, your mic was off.
Oh, my mic was off. Thank you. I turned it off because I was yelling at Rob. And I forgot to turn it back on.
So. That's better than forgetting to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. So let me thank Catherine for her generous donation, and let me thank Al for his generous donation. And what the heck? We might as well talk to Al. Who's on the line. Hi, Al. Thanks again.
Hey, guys. My pleasure. Hey, if anybody who's willing to spend their precious Saturdays on a beautiful Saturday inside answering questions.
Exactly. Exactly. So what's up with you?
Well, I had an experience that you guys will appreciate. I had I won't name the source, but someone dropped a dozen or so hard drives and other assorted, about 15 pounds of stuff in a box. And I thought, gee, this is like Christmas, you know. Some of these drives have never even been opened.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, they're not big. They're, you know, 500 gigs, so that's, you know.
Yeah, that's not big anymore.
So, but I've got enclosures for the 3.5 drives, and everything's going fine. But I went and ordered some 2.5-inch enclosures and discovered that the little SATA connector is different sometimes. That there's a wedge between the power and the data plugs. So my enclosures I've just bought that look like they'd be suitable even for the 3.5-inch SATA drives don't work on these 2.5s I've got.
Yeah, I've seen some of them like that where they expect two separate cables to be plugged in, and so it leaves space for the cable edge, the connector edges,
right.
versus one cable that plugs directly into both connectors at once. Because one's power and one's data.
Yeah. So that's what I've got. It's a solid one-piece connector, and it just won't plug in. So I was just wondering, before I go searching eBay again, is there any specific term I should look for, or is there any descriptor that identifies these types of drives?
You may be able to find it on the drive manufacturer's website as to what they call that connector.
Okay.
SATA 2, SATA 3, SATA 6, who knows?
Yeah. And I apologize that I'm tapping into your brain power rather than doing my own legwork. But
well, it's okay.
You were convenient.
Well, the first thing I looked up was SATA splitter, but that just leads you to one connector to two drives, which is not what you're looking for.
Yeah. So it's just, like I said, I've got 12 of them, half of them still in the wrapper. And I think they're tiny. I can't tell. The writing on it doesn't really tell me what it is, but I suspect they're both old and small. But
Yeah.
Hate to throw that kind of hardware out.
Yeah, no kidding.
Given that 10 years ago I would spend hundreds of dollars to buy it.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, well, I'll continue my investigation. And again, thanks, guys.
I wonder.
A follow-on question. Hey, yeah. Dave. A couple years ago, you helped me out, and you put a little 2.5-inch drive in an enclosure, and you really liked the brand.
Mm-hmm.
You have a favorite brand for that?
Yeah, nowadays, Al, there are so many, and they're all good.
I usually like StarTac.
Yeah, StarTac is a good one. I mean, go a little bit more. Don't go the cheapest. like I've always said, go a little bit more in quality than, you know, say the cheapest one that, you know, I buy this one and, oh, for an additional $5, we'll throw you in another one. You know, deals like that aren't always the best. So, yeah, just be selective. And if you can, try buy American.
Yeah.
If you can.
And that connector you're seeing might be a mini SATA, which is sometimes called an M SATA.
Okay.
Right.
Which is physically smaller than the old SATA.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, over the years, it was kind of iffy, but nowadays you can get them for, you know, $15-$20.
Yeah, my big trick is we just bought a bunch of them because they were inexpensive, and they turned out to be USB 2 only. So yeah. Make sure you get USB 3. Well,
paying a little bit more, you're not getting the bottom of the barrel.
Yep. There's 7mm, 9mm, and 12mm drives. So you have to make sure how tall your drive is to get a case that fits how tall that.
Okay.
Yep.
So the bottom line is, you're buying a parachute, don't go to the lowest bidder.
You got
the truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You'll get a pair of shoes, but they just might not fit.
A parachute's working pretty good now. I guess I'll take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, before we go to break, we have another, somebody typed in a question. Just got a Pixel 3, and I'm ready to throw it through a wall. Can you recommend a simple phone app that allows you to select a specific number for a contact that has multiple numbers for the recent call list without having to go into the contact list, which is what the built-in phone app requires? Also, needed voicemail app. Thanks.
Well, okay, let's take the second one first because that's easy.
Yeah.
Voicemail, I get my voicemail directly from Google. That's one of the things the Pixel 3 lets you do. I use Google Voice to do that. And because I've loaded the Google Voice app on my phone, if a phone, and I've set it up that way, if a phone call doesn't get answered by me, it goes to Google Voice. Google Voice takes the message. Not only does it record the message, but also provides a transcript, which is hilariously inaccurate most of the time.
But if you're not using a Google Voice phone number,
I'm not using a Google Voice phone.
Okay.
I have both.
Yeah.
I have both. And they both go to Google Voice. So I get my stuff through them.
And I would have thought that app already comes on an Android phone.
I would think it would, but it depends on who we got it from and what they did to it when they did it and blah, 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 blah.
What interface is hiding on top of the Android? Yeah.
Well, if it's a Pixel phone, there should be none, but
that's true.
But
yeah.
Still. And what I'm looking at is there's a contact widget. And hold on, let me find that. Why do I not see it? There it is, contacts. And here's the direct dial widget. And if I go there and I pick a person, he has two numbers. And so when I go there, it just picked one.
You tap on the number you want to call?
Pick the first one.
Ah, so that, I think that's what they want to. Someone has six numbers. How do I call the third one down without having to dial it manually?
Yeah, I do not know.
He says it's a stocked Android 10.
Yeah. Okay, that I do not know that. I've never looked for that because I don't have more than one number for most people. Huh. All right, we'll look that up, but we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 30 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1. Make that call. Make that pledge. We'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we would like to thank Timothy.
Don't drink the alcohol. You're supposed to rub it on your hands.
Oh, now you tell me.
you spoiled it. It was enjoyable watching him try to drink it.
I would like to thank Timothy for his generous donation. Thank you, Timothy. And what is this donation? Well, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. In fact, this is the last Saturday that you can pledge around Jazz 90.1. And we will happily and joyfully accept your pledge if you call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. You can talk to the young and lovely Rob Linton, who will be glad to take your call. If you do not want to talk to Rob, and we understand that entirely, you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every dang day of the year at jazz901.org. Click the Not Subtle Donate Now button. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. And make that pledge. We'd like to thank everyone who has pledged. And remember, this is your last shot. We want to stay on the air, folks. And it really does come down to that. You all know what state everybody's in right now. We're in that same state. We want to stay on the air. We need your help to do that. Make that call. Make that pledge. In the meantime, we'll talk to Carl all the way down in Pottstown, PA. Hiya, Carl. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. You?
Good for me. And I have a question.
Yes.
I have a Windows 10 machine, and I have an Android cell phone. And I'd like to do something that a lot of people do, but I've never done before, and that is transfer audio files from my Windows 10 machine to my cell phone so I could plug a pair of headphones into my cell phone and listen to the audio files. Now, these files are not in WAV format on the PC, nor are they in MP3 format. They're in FLAC format. So what software do I need to download to my cell phone in order to transfer these files over and play them on my cell phone?
A FLAC player for Android and a transfer app. There's a lot of transfer apps.
There's a thousand ways to do the transfer. That's actually pretty easy. You can do it. You can plug in a cable. You can send it to, say, Google Drive and download it back again from there. So there's a bunch of different ways to do that, but as to FLAC reader for Android,
a free lossless audio compressor.
Oh, VLC.
That's what I was thinking. The VLC player.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be video. It does more than
right.
Than
it does
video.
It does dang near do everything. So yeah. VLC will do that part of it. Yes.
So will that allow me to both do the transfer, which I'll probably use the USB cable for, and to play it back, or do I need a separate application to do the transfer?
Well, if you plug it in to your USB port, plug the phone into your USB port, it should show up on your desktop as a drive, basically. Mm-hmm. And then you can just drag the files into whatever folder you want to put them in.
And then tell VLC to play them from that folder.
From their folder.
And you can do playlists, can't you, in the mobile app? I know you can on the desktop
app. Yes. You can make playlists, so you can do it however you want to do it.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's not too hard to do.
No, it shouldn't be a problem at all. You don't even need – if you wanted to do a conversion, of course, there are 1,000 programs that will convert. But you don't even need to do that. VLC will read the FLAC files just fine.
Right, because when I click on those FLAC files on my Windows 10 machine – and you know, I'm not transferring them yet, but they're still on the Windows 10 machine. The VLC player comes up on the Windows 10 machine and plays those files.
Yep.
I know that already works.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, guys, I thank you for that.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Have a great time down there in Pottstown, and keep on listening.
Okay, I will. Thanks, bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
It looks like Windows Media Player version 12 can do FLAC device music files, but I don't think they include Windows Media Player in Windows 10 anymore, do they?
No. They also certainly don't include it on Android, which is where he actually wants to play the music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's I don't know that the built-in music player won't do FLAC. I really don't remember what it does because I listen to podcasts with a podcast app, and I listen to music with VLC myself. So.
And FLAC is a popular format because it's a lossless audio compressor. That's the LAC, and it's free, which makes it more popular, the FLAC. A lot of people don't realize that the MP3, that audio format that we've been listening to, is a lossy format. It throws away information it doesn't think you'll need. Generally, you look at a high-quality CD, and it's 10 megs a minute. is a 700 meg CD holds about 70 minutes of audio. It's funny how that works out. So MP3 is a 10-to-1 compression. So now it's 1 meg a minute. So that brought music files down to 3 or 4 megs per song, which suddenly was small enough to make portable media players work. And there have been better compressors over time. Dolby Labs, the one problem with MP3 is it's copyright...
encumbered.
Copyright encumbered, yep. Dolby made a different codec, compressor-decompressor called AAC, the Advanced Audio Codec, that gives you about the same 10-to-1 compression at a higher quality than MP3, and some places use that. But a lot of people started using FLAC, and it was interesting. I haven't checked recently, but the iPod couldn't play FLAC natively.
Right.
Because it wasn't an Apple approved format, or someone had to write a FLAC player for it. And then Neil Young had his Pono player, which does lossless audio, but it can't hold as much because it is 10 megs a minute. So.
Right. And of course, OGG.
Yeah, OGG,
which is on a lot of people use it on Linux, is also lossy, but much less so.
Yeah.
In fact, MP3 is the lousiest compression algorithm.
You can choose the level of compression when you're creating the file, and I typically use a higher compression for a higher quality for sound bites. Not that it matters for spoken voice, but yeah, for music it does.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of like when you're saving a JPEG file, there's that little slider there, quality versus size. And a lot of people go for low quality because when you're looking at a web page, that picture doesn't have to be very high quality. But we get a lot of people say, I want to print this picture. Yeah, it's going to look crappy because it's web quality.
Right. They did an interesting study at one point, and they took a bunch of teenagers and they asked them which they liked better, the MP3 of a song or the live performance of a song.
They couldn't tell.
They preferred the MP3 because the live song didn't sound right.
It's not as produced either.
Well, no, yes. Part of it is not produced, but the other part of it is there's all it's this different. Additional audio in the live performance that isn't in the MP3 because it's a lossy standard. And so they mm-hmm. are not used to hearing the richness mm-hmm. of the sound.
It doesn't sound right to them.
Yeah.
Speaking of photos, we had somebody else just type in, when in Google Photos, when you put a pic from your timeline into an album, is it still in the timeline when you open up the photo? Is there any way just to have it in the album and not in the timeline?
Not that I know of, because it doesn't actually move the file anywhere. It just adds another tag to it, basically.
It adds another link, another string that goes from the timeline over to the folder. So when you tell it to do a search, it knows where to look.
Yeah,
the
timeline
is basically all your photos ever.
Right.
Which is often handy, because if you decide to delete a photo from a folder, it doesn't delete it from your timeline because it's not really in the folder. It's just tagged on that folder.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys, and I have re-upped already.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
My daughter has a MacBook Air, and we have an Asus, I don't know if you care for the number, VZ299H, if that means anything, external monitor and an external keyboard that's used because she edits video in Final Cut Pro. Recently, when she plugs up the external monitor and closes the clamshell, the monitor will show for a while and then it'll cut off. And so we went through a few things and looked at it, couldn't figure it out. I grabbed a box that the monitor came out of, and of course the instructions are worse than crappy. So I went online and actually found an instruction manual, if you will, for all the little buttons on the thing. And the only thing that I could really see that was of relevance was whether or not the input was from VGA or HDMI. And, of course, it's checked for HDMI. And, of course, the output to the monitor is HDMI. So that's the only thing that I could find in this whole thing that might be relevant. But when we plug this thing up and she turns it on and then closes the clamshell, it will stay on for a minute, sometimes 2 minutes, and then it will just say no HDMI signal and it will shut off.
And she's still typing on the keyboard and using the computer?
Yes.
Yeah, so if you have an external keyboard and mouse and monitor connected, you can close the clamshell and use it in external monitor only. It should
right.
know that. So it sounds like the computer might be going to sleep. You could check some of the energy saver settings in the computer. And
I actually did that. I went to it, Steve, and I turned all of that stuff off. I just put it to never just to see what would happen. And we still got the same thing.
Is the power plugged into the computer as well?
Yes, it is.
All right, because sometimes...
And she has one of these little dongles that comes out, and so it's plugged into that. And I presume this little external connection thing is receiving its power from the PC itself.
Yeah, usually. I would almost wonder if something is going on with one of the dongles, and it doesn't recognize that it's plugged in anymore. So it thinks the keyboard is not being used, and so it puts the computer to sleep.
Huh. I never thought of that, but I wondered because I have something here from Pluggable, and it uses one of them has 7 ports, the other has 8, but it has its own power supply.
Yeah. Typically, the USB hubs that have their own power supply work better, but they cost more because there's more electronics in them.
Right, right. But they're worth it if I can get things to operate.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if maybe I shouldn't buy something like that, or she shouldn't buy something like that, rather. But we sat for a couple of hours the other day, and we just could not figure this out. And why it cuts off, I don't know. I've done everything that I know how to do.
I'm not seeing anything specific for that
and
monitor.
And currently the monitor is plugged directly into the air?
Through an HDMI dongle? Or is it direct HDMI?
I have a MacBook Pro, and it has some connections that go into it that the air doesn't have. The air only really wants to have that little dongle, and then it plugs up everything else, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Right, and so right now you're going from the monitor to the dongle to the computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some of the Airs did have a direct HDMI port.
I don't believe this one does. Yeah. I'll look again and see, but I'm familiar with my mm-hmm. MacBook Pro and not her Air. But I think, if I remember correctly, we were plugging into the dongle.
I would try a different dongle if you can.
Okay.
Try to limit the number of things plugged in to just the keyboard, mouse, and monitor and see what that does.
And see, that's the other thing she has. Because she's using MacBook Pro, she has sometimes 2 different external drives going. One just running Final Cut Pro, and then the other one actually has the file she's working on, that kind of thing. So there's lots of stuff plugged into it.
Well, but in this case, just as a test... disconnect those and see if it works.
Right, right. Okay, well, that's something we'll try. Otherwise, had it been my monitor and not hers, I would have thrown the thing through the window. It just got frustrating when I spent so much time and it won't work. And
right.
It seems like it's such a simple thing to do. Just close the clamshell and away you go.
Right. The other thing to do is to swap monitors with her just for a test.
Ah.
I mean, the idea is to eliminate as many possibilities as you can.
Right, right, right. I think we have another one. That's something we can do right away.
Perfect.
And there is an app called Caffeine available in the App Store, I think, or probably direct download, too, that prevents your Mac from going to sleep.
Yes.
So it's called Caffeine. I even remember, in fact, it might even be Caffeine has it, where it'll wiggle the mouse a little bit every now and then so your computer thinks it's still awake. Because we've had problems over the years where you're downloading a large file and the computer goes to sleep because you're not doing anything.
Right.
But the computer is still doing something. It shouldn't go to sleep.
Right, right.
Yep.
Okay, Caffeine, I will type that up.
Yep, I'll put a link up to it.
That's in the App Store. Okay.
From Lighthead to Software.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's even free.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, I've been using caffeine on my Linux box, and it's great.
It does
keep the machine running. It never goes to sleep. I use that during class when I'm teaching, mm-hmm. because sometimes I'll talk for 20 minutes,
yeah.
and the machine then goes to sleep, and people are watching Bouncing Cows.
It's unfortunate that the energy saver preferences that say don't sleep, right built into the computer, aren't working. That's
right.
Frustrating. I've got mine set to sleep at 2 hours, so that's the limit of our meetings that we usually have.
Right.
So it probably won't go to sleep in the middle of the meeting.
All right, we've got a few minutes. Let's talk to Tom from Henrietta, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
How you doing? I've got an iPhone 5S, which works just fine for me. But recently, it's been running down the power much more quickly than it was before. And I'm wondering, is there some way, like on Windows, where you can do a task manager and look to see what processes are running? Is there a way to do that on the iPhone?
There's a high-level view. If you double-press the home button, it shows you all the open and running apps. But it just does high-level apps. It doesn't do low-level processes. My first guess is that the battery is just getting weak because it's a 5S and pretty old.
Well, it's been replaced, though. I replaced it about a year and a half ago, and it was running just fine after I replaced it.
Check the battery health status in the settings. It's possible that the battery has worn out, but a year and a half, maybe not.
Shouldn't be. But also check whatever the last app you loaded was.
Yeah.
Because if it suddenly started.
Have you loaded any video conferencing apps lately that may be staying running in the background waiting for a conference to start?
Yeah, I did put Zoom on there. I also put Roku on recently, but I don't really use that very much.
Roku shouldn't be a problem, but Zoom could indeed,
yeah.
as Steve just said, could be using a trickle of energy in the background.
Skype is notorious for that, staying running in the background, waiting for a call to come in.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
And that high-level look should tell you if Zoom is still running.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right, I'll do that. Hey, by the way, when I was on hold there waiting to talk to you guys, there's a lot of, I don't know what you call it, static or some kind of an interference while you're waiting. It makes it hard to listen to you guys talking, off the radio. Not on the radio, but over the phone.
Right, right.
I just heard a modem sound start.
Yeah, that's what I thought I heard, too. Okay, thanks. We'll take a look at that. Thank you.
Hey, the boss is here. We can complain directly to him.
That's exactly right.
Sure.
Thanks,
ahead,
Tom.
Tell him that.
Thanks.
Hey, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks.
Another app called Amphetamine. If caffeine isn't good enough for you, you can go to Amphetamine.
Juice it up. Nice. We want to thank our friend Dolores for her very generous, I believe this is an extra gift. Thank you. And she said her marriage with her husband lasted over 50 years because he had a detached garage. Man, ain't that the truth. That's it. Get to the garage, honey. Hey, leave me alone.
We had a video conference last night with the Airplane Club, and guys were showing off their workshops and their plane rooms and all the planes hanging on the wall. And I was so envious that they have a room they can do that in.
Yeah. And for many of them, it is the garage.
Yeah, a piece of the, that's what.
Or down the basement, even.
A piece of the basement, and I can go, and, my wife has this room that she does her stuff in, and I've got this room I do my stuff in.
Yeah. We have that. We have a four-bedroom house.
Well, my problem is we've only got one DVR because I didn't want to pay the extra for the multi-house DVR. So we've got my shows, her shows, and our shows.
Right, right, right.
And so whoever gets to the TV first gets to choose.
Right. He who has the controller.
Yeah.
That's right, man. That's it's the power in the house.
Well, that's like you said. I got my own separate room for my ham stuff. And it's just my stuff. I go there and I can just totally zone out and I do it. And like you say, you need those different sections of the house.
I've just realized I need two rooms because when I'm on a video conference, which I'm doing a lot these days,
mm-hmm.
I can't really 3D print anything because it's too loud. Well, that's annoying.
Well, no, yeah. Everyone should say, oh, what's that noise? And then you can have a half-hour tangent on, this is my 3D printer.
Yeah, we've done all that, see? So the first time it was interesting. Yeah. The second time it was okay. After that, it's like, could you turn that stinking thing off?
You can't put it in another room and remote to it?
I can, but I don't have another room. Although now I could take over my daughter's room.
Yeah.
She has her own place, right?
She has her own place. So I could take over my daughter's room. I've already moved a whole bunch of stuff into that room, so...
She doesn't need it anymore.
She doesn't need it anymore. It's still her room, but she doesn't really use it anymore. So we're very happy with that. Ooh.
Well, you can leave her stuff in there, but just sort of rearrange stuff. You know, take the bed down and fold that all up.
Yep.
Push it all against one wall. Her stuff is technically still there.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I have done, as a matter of fact. All right, so I want to thank Francis for a very generous donation. Thank you, Francis. We're very honored. Thank you so much. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. We need your help. We need your support. It's that simple. It's what keeps this show alive. It's what keeps this station alive. No amount too large, no amount too small. We will gladly take whatever you can comfortably afford. And remember, you can always become a Jazz-O-Matic member. For a minimum donation of $10 a month, you can pledge as much as you like for as long as you like, and every month we will take that amount directly out of your checking account, after you okay it, of course. And otherwise we wouldn't have to run pledge drives. Then you can know that you've helped, but it's a little nibble every month rather than a big bite all at once, and we get how that's important for some people. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, a slightly longer break actually, because it's the end of the first hour, but don't go away. We've got a whole nother hour of this nonsense coming, a whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of Rob Linton on the phones, and a whole nother hour of me, Nick Francesco. So you can make that call and make that pledge. This is the perfect time to do it. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. Holy cow. That must mean you're listening to Sound Bites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you that we have, at least so far, remained member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter. At 901 Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you, because at least to this point, we have managed to continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. And yes, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Actually, we're coming up on the end. This is the last Saturday for Soundbite. Before you drop to your knees screaming hallelujah, you should know we have not yet reached our goal.
Yep.
And we need your help to get there. We want to keep this show on the air, and we want to prove that bringing us here was not a mistake.
Yeah.
And way you do that is by making a pledge today. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. soundbites.org. Hit the unsubtle donate now button. Scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. Pick one and go. It's easy.
I mean, it's a way of also thanking us. I mean, given what's going on right now, like you said, we know there's, you know, some hard times ahead of us. That's why Rob has set up the Jazz-O-Matic that you can do as minimum of $10 a month. And it's not like you're into some long-term contract. You can start, you know, start it and then stop it anytime.
Yep.
You're free to stop it. There's no penalties.
You can set a limit on it. Say, I want to do it for 12 months, and then we're done.
Yeah, and do it once a month. You know, I mean, we try to make it as easy as it can. And again, I take it as a personal thank you for, you know, taking the time right now, given what's going on with everything and the social distancing and everything else, that we're, you know, the three of us said, yeah, we still want to do the show. We're coming here. Rob got permission for us to come in, keeping the social distancing, and we're here to answer your questions. And like I said before, at the other hour, right now, if anything, I'll bet you most of you folks are relying on your systems more than you have in the past year, because now you're streaming. You're also, the kids are also doing homeschooling. Yep. You might be doing video meetings, say, connecting back and forth to work so you can work from home.
Yeah, I read that Zoom had about 10 million customers in December, 300 million in April.
And they have changed their policy, too, because there was quite a bit of criticism with Zoom meeting, you know, people getting hacked in and all that. Well, they took a very proactive part, too, in that they set up tighter security, that they set up passwords so you can set up the meetings and keep it secure.
Yeah, you still have to do that, but it is doable.
Password's on by default now. It was off by default prior.
And they used to have a 40-minute time limit. Now, about every 40 minutes, I guess, you get a little pop-up box that says, hey, your 40 minutes is up, but we're going to give you another 40 minutes. Yay!
Yeah. I mean, for us, the ham group that I belong to right now, I mean, it's been a godsend. Because we found just last month, we did our first meeting through Zoom and that, and it was unbelievable, the number of folks that showed up. And it's turned us to start thinking, well, maybe we should offer it to some of the other folks. They can't always get out, say, on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And our viewership was unbelievable. Over 100 people showed up to watch this gentleman do a presentation.
That's one of the reasons that Cider has been doing YouTube streaming. It's like we do here for people that can't make it and watch live. But we did our board meeting over video conferencing, and several people said, oh, this is pretty easy. Let's do this every time. And
that's what we did,
well,
too.
A lot of us are saying, no, we only come to the board meeting so we can go out to eat afterwards.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, a convenience. And you know what? Right now, like I was going back to, is we're providing you a convenient way to keep your systems up and running by being here every week. And we only come to you twice a year asking for your support. And like I said, I take it as a personal thank you for what the three of us are doing. And we have been doing it for 30 plus years now, folks. 30 plus years. We have been coming through all these times, ups and downs, providing you with good, reliable information. And we do it right on the fly. We don't sit there and say, oh, all right, well, thank you for the question. Let us look into it and we'll get back to you.
Right. We answer them.
We answer them live. You don't get that at a lot of other places. Oh, we're not sure. We're going to have to check in. We'll get back to you. Meanwhile, you're still stuck with the problem. We're posting even links. Steve is constantly posting links that, you know, make it that much easier that you don't have to go searching. We could easily say, oh, well, just go look it up on the web. No, Steve is providing the service by putting that link right there. You can go there, look at it, download whatever you need, or the instructions on how to do something.
I mean, and all we ask
is that you pick up that phone and give us a call.
585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And we want to thank David. Thank you for your kind words in the YouTube chat. Yeah, we do YouTube. We do. Steve also does the podcast every week, and all of that is on his own time. God bless him for all of that when he remembers to hit the button.
Yeah. CRS.
That last right. Publish button. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. and all of that. All we do in return is come to you. We do that every week. Think about this fact, folks. For 30 years, I've had to sit in a room with these two guys. All we're asking you in return, and they've had to sit in a room with me,
yeah.
And all we're asking in return is that you become a member of this station. Make that call. Make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Well, you also have to realize that Rob went a little above and beyond to
toot
Rob's horn right now, given the situation. Most of the stuff right now, you know, the DJs are coming in and we're doing a lot of pre-recorded stuff and that type of stuff in the library to keep the jazz rolling. But he's got a few programs that the DJs are still coming in and doing it live. And he's also done it for this show, which, again, you know, there's three of us here. Whereas most of the time, if a DJ comes in, there's nobody else here in the studio, you know, so they don't have to worry about the social distancing and everything else. It's a non-issue. But he got it so the three of us could be here to keep you folks going. It was more or less deemed essential.
Yeah.
We were essential because we're keeping, providing information which is essential for you to keep your systems up and running and your kids maybe doing their homeschooling and everything else right now.
And if you feel that we are essential,
show the support.
Show the support. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. The phones are not ringing, and this makes me sad. All we ask is twice a year. All we ask is twice a year. And you folks are not stepping up. I'm sorry. I'm just not seeing you stepping up. The phone is not ringing.
It is what it is.
And well, you call right now while I read another news item, and this will be lovely. Speaking of video conferencing, Google Duo video chatting app is about to get a big bump in call quality thanks to a new video codec technology Google plans to roll out within the next week. The codec called AV1 is the product of an industry-wide consortium called the Alliance for Open Media. AV1 is the successor to VP9 and can produce significantly higher data compression rates than prior standards, which makes it great for mobile video applications like streaming TV shows and live video calling. Google says all Duo calls will now use AV1, making even low-bandwidth video calls appear much higher quality than before. The codec change will also help with video calling stability, too. In addition to the AV1 update, Google is also releasing a new photo mode for Duo, so you can capture and then share side-by-side photos of you and one other person on your call. The feature will be expanding to group calls soon. Google says it also plans to increase the group call size from 12 participants to make it even higher after raising the limit from 8 late last month. And now it went from 8, now it's 12, and then it'll be higher than that, and we don't know what that number will be. With the rise of video calling and teleconferencing during the coronavirus pandemic, companies like Google and competitor Zoom are racing to add new features while, particularly in Zoom's case, ensuring security and privacy stays intact. Earlier today, Google added a Zoom-like gallery view for its enterprising video calling app, Meet. Google also said it is seeing an astounding uptick in Duo usage, including an 800% increase in video messages. Same idea. For that reason, Google says it's changing its policy on those video messages, which can be recorded and sent to friends for viewing after the fact, so they can be saved automatically instead of expiring after 24 hours. So do you use Duo? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. But before you call us and ask a question, please consider making a pledge. The same two numbers work for that, or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
We'll take it either way.
Now we have to explain to people that one is better than nine.
Yeah.
AV1 is better than VP9.
Yeah.
And what happened to VPs 1 through 8, you know?
Well, that's exactly right. It's like COVID-19. Where were the first 18?
Yeah.
But one of the things that you should probably take a look at in general is on Ask Nick, which is my website, /videochat.php. I've got a list of some video chat software. There's an astounding amount of video chat software, but I've got some of them on there, and I have to go back and make some changes.
And that link is also pinned to the top of the Soundbites page.
Too. Right. But Google Duo was in here. Where is it? Oh, there it is. Yeah. And it does say up to 12 people so far. One of the big things about Google Duo versus many of the things we're seeing today, including Zoom, is it does have end-to-end encryption. And unlike FaceTime, it works on every platform. So whether you're an iOS user or an Android user, you can have Google Duo meetings that are end-to-end encrypted, 100% secure, and so you can call anybody, anytime, anywhere. FaceTime is very nice, and it's on my list, and it's a very nice product, but it is only for iOS phones. So if you have...
And Macs. Apple devices.
Right. Apple devices. Sorry, yes. Apple devices. So if you are not on an Apple device, and you are indeed on an Android anything
Windows.
That's not an Apple device, basically you can't use FaceTime. So Google Duo bridges that gap between operating systems. It really is big nowadays. You know, for the longest time, video conferencing, video chatting apps, whatever you want to call them, were nice.
Yeah, but and not essential.
Useful over long distances, but, you know, big deal. And over the last month, I think we're in year 48 of the lockdown, I think. I think that's about right. Over the last month, I cannot count the number of calls and emails and whatevers I've gotten for people who want to know about these things and how to properly set them up and how to be secure and which ones are the best, and best is such a slippery term. The video chat list at Ask Nick will give you a slight overview. Obviously, you know, your mileage may vary for any of these, but there are a number of free ones. There are a number that you pay for. Some are specific to businesses.
Well, that's the thing. Even with businesses right now, thanks to video conferencing and everything else and being able to work from home, you know, that has kept a lot of businesses still going and being productive, because the individual doesn't have to be there. They can, you know, say they're a tech support or whatever. They can do that from home, keeping the social distancing, but yet keeping everything running smoothly, answering people's questions, filling orders, and doing this and that. It's helping give companies a little more flexibility. Maybe, you know, they're not doing 100%, you know, of what they'd like to do, but at least they're still going. It's just like some of the restaurants right now, you know.
Right.
Granted, they're closed down and you can't go in there and sit and have a meal, but there's plenty of places that you can call and pick it up, and they have it ready. Matter of fact, the donut shop today.
Yeah.
You know, they've been having it, so they got a line. You just walk in, one person at a time, walk up to this table, give your order, boom, and you're out. And everybody is, you know, keeping the social distancing and everything else, so it's all working good, but it's still keeping that business up and running.
And a lot of places are doing touchless delivery where you pay ahead of time.
Yeah.
Comes to your door, they leave it, they ring the doorbell, they're gone. One thing, folks, and it comes back down to money. Many of these delivery people live on tips.
Yeah.
And they're not getting tips anymore because you're not seeing them. Nobody thinks about tipping them. Last week when I got donuts, I said, put a couple of bucks on there for your people. And the guy didn't. It took him a minute to understand what I had just said.
They had a bucket there when I went.
Yeah, they had.
Well, I didn't have any cash.
Same here today.
I didn't have any cash. So I said, put a couple extra bucks on the card And he, I don't think he got it. It's just, it's such a rare thing for
Yeah, for donuts. I mean, well,
and a lot of the food ordering apps now have an option to leave a tip.
Right.
And I've heard,
but people aren't using them.
Right. And I've heard from people that are using the apps still won't leave a tip because they don't think the people need a tip because they're not doing anything.
Right.
They're still getting your product, and it takes them time.
Even though the price of gas is down, somebody's filling that tank.
Yeah, they're doing everything they did before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Open up a little bit. And part of that opening up is making the call and making the pledge for us. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
We had a couple of comments in the YouTube chat. David from Elmira says, thank you for the show. Thank you, David, for listening. And Richard from Rochester has a question about Google Phone app to give control of the number and getting voicemail text. You get a number assigned by your carrier, basically. But you can get a Google Voice number. You can put in an area code and decide which phone number you want as long as nobody else is using it. And a lot of people like using a Google Voice number because it's basically carrier independent and phone independent. And it gives you one phone number to give to everyone for anything. And then that phone, it will ring on your phone. You put the app on your tablet and your computer. You can answer your calls on those devices as well. And it tries to do a transcription of any voicemail messages. It doesn't do too bad. But it also, it gives
it's
you.
My favorite part of the day is reading those transcriptions.
It does give you a correct this option where you can fix the words you want.
Well, and that's how Google got to be so good at voice transcription, because they essentially crowdsourced it.
Mm-hmm.
From the very first day of the voice app, they had that fix it option, and you could correct it. We still get, if your phone connection is very bad, or you tend to mumble or slur your words. I have a friend who only calls when he's slurring his words. Let's just put it that way, and I never understand what the transcript says for him. I don't have any idea, but you know who you are, but. But if they're not slurring too badly, or their accent is not too terribly thick, Google Voice does an awfully good job these days of transcribing what you've said. It's pretty amazing, and there's a recording app for Android that also does transcription.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put it in the middle of a table at a meeting. And it will not only record the meeting, but it will also provide a transcript, which you can then, of course, go back and correct.
For later, meeting notes or whatever.
It's
great.
It's pretty amazing. It does eat up your battery, but so what?
Yeah, but look what you're gaining out
exactly. of it. Exactly. So Google is moving ahead with that stuff. And now, of course, one of the things that they've added, and I think it's in Duo, is automatic translation. On-the-fly translation. So there's an app where if you speak Farsi and I speak English, I can hold this app between us and it'll translate back and forth.
I've seen some little gadgets where somebody will speak and all of a sudden that she brings it back and she was Chinese text. And this is American and she spoke into it and it translated it.
Yep, and that's in your phone now.
Yeah.
That's in your phone. So Google is leveraging their stuff on a lot of levels. One of the things they don't do is a good job of advertising all of that. I mean, you've got all these amazing features, and people just aren't really cognizant of them because Google hasn't advertised them.
Well, one of Google's problems is they have so many different apps that do similar things between Hangouts and Meet and Duo and Voice. So it's like Google's got a lot of engineers doing a lot of cool stuff, but you don't need to make six different voice chatting apps.
Right, and that's one of those things is when I bring up a contact, one of the choices is a video call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what app is that? Is that the phone app itself, or is it
let alone
going to Duo?
The
or?
Other companies that have video calls. This is just Google's video calls.
Right. So Yeah, there's a whole lot of that stuff that goes on, and people just need to be educated as to which one is best for their needs.
Well, going back even a little farther with Google, the number of folks lately that I have convinced or didn't, folks that didn't realize, like Google Docs and Google Sheets, it's all there and it's free. They go, well, yeah, they're going to charge you later down the road, right? No. Haven't yet. Haven't yet. I've been using it for a number of years right now. It's always free. And it's there and it's secure. So I don't have to worry about losing it.
Right.
If my hard drive crashes, no big deal. It's still up there. And I've saved a lot of great information, and especially photos. That I can't say enough about.
Yeah. I've got 50,000 photos up on Google Photos, and it's all stored there. Takes up no space at all. It takes up a lot of space. It just doesn't count against my quota the way I've saved them up there. And it's great. I can see them on my phone, on my tablet, on my whatever I want. And
yeah, it doesn't matter where you are, and they're accessible. So if you even take a trip and you want to work on a document or something, oh, didn't bring it with me. No problem. I just log into my Google account, say on a laptop, and there's the document, and I can work on it.
Yep.
And I don't have to have it physically on the drive or, you know, with me on a thumb drive or anything else. It's there. And it's of no concern. And if something happens to the device, say my hard drive or anything else, well, just a few months ago, my computer died.
Mm-hmm.
It owed me nothing. It was over 16 years old. Served its time. Hey, it was only doing one thing.
It shouldn't have died so soon.
Yeah, I know.
Only 16 years?
Yep.
Yeah. And it was only running one program, and that was my QuickBooks. And I wasn't worried, like I told you before. It was Windows 7. It wasn't on the internet, not doing much. But it finally died. Well, it did. No problem. I already had that part backed up because the Quicken I always back up daily. The rest of my stuff was of no concern. My photos? No, they're up on Google. Your documents? No, up on Google. And any spreadsheets that I've created over the years, I have moved over to Google Sheets. And they're all there.
Yeah, we are getting a lot of people coming into the store now with broken screens on their phones.
Yeah.
And it used to be batteries. Now it's screens.
Right.
Sometimes it's both. And one of the things we always ask them is, do you have a backup of your data? Because sometimes if the screen is too damaged, we have to replace the whole phone. And the answer is almost always, I don't know. Or it will be, it tries, but my cloud storage is full. Okay, so you can back up to your computer for free, or 99 cents a month, you can get more cloud storage.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. We have Tom from Rochester on the line. We'll get to him as soon as we come back. And you, it is 30 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we're dang near done with this edition of Sound Bites. Just a half hour to go. And that means you have only half an hour left to pledge around Soundbites. Yes, we're in the middle of a pledge drive. Yes, it's the last week. No, we have not reached our goal. And we would love for you to become a member and make the pledge, just like Paul did. Thank you, Paul, for your very generous donation. We are, thank you. It's great. And you should join all of the people who have pledged so far today. That's Jenna and Catherine and Al and Timothy and Dolores and Francis and Paul. You can do it easily. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. But the easiest way to pledge is to do it securely online at jazz901.org. Just look for that unsubtle donate now button and scroll down till you see the soundbite stuff. While you do that, we will talk to Tom from Rochester, New York. What's up, Tom?
Oh, just a frustrating situation. I have a Windows desktop and an iPad. When I access my mail on iPad and I delete something from the inbox, I will go and delete it from the trash. And even though on my settings I have selected delete from the server when it's removed from the inbox, the deleted mail keeps coming back into my inbox, even when I'm looking at my mail on the iPad, or if it's gone before I sign off, I will turn it on the next day, and it all of a sudden it gets reloaded into the inbox.
What mail service are you using?
You mean on my iPad?
Yeah.
It's just the iPad mail. Or no, the Apple's mail.
No, not the mail program, the mail service. Roadrunner, Google, Spectrum, Frontier.
I have Frontier ISP, and I don't know what you mean. Maybe I'm missing something.
What's your
here.
Email address?
Just the last part. The
FrontierNet.net.
There you go. That's who it is.
So Frontier is your email service.
Yes.
Which means
okay.
It's Yahoo.
Which means it's Yahoo, and that's part of the problem.
Right.
So Frontier is using Yahoo as a back end. We have seen issues if you have your iPad set up to send and receive mail from Frontier, and it does seem to work better if you have it set to Yahoo instead of Frontier.
Same email address, so it's whoever you are at FrontierNet.net. But instead of using the Frontier servers, you directly use the Yahoo servers.
Right.
Okay, you mean on the iPad settings.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason is that right now, essentially your mail connection goes through Frontier to Yahoo. And then back through Frontier to you.
Yes.
And that's an issue. If you go directly to and from Yahoo, it solves some problems.
And by using Yahoo, you can set it up for IMAP so that it automatically deletes everything from the server and doesn't use POP, because Frontier only handles POP, to store it on your local computer.
So if I just change those settings on my iPad to Yahoo, do I have to change any of those POP settings or not?
Is it set to POP or IMAP now?
I think there's something that says POP.
Yeah, so you'll have to make a new mail account setting. Tell it Yahoo, and then tell it to do IMAP.
IMAP. Okay.
You'll have to either disable or delete the POP settings, or you'll see all your mail twice.
Okay. All righty, and that should hopefully it'll solve the problem.
Yep.
I appreciate your help, and I'm a member.
Thanks, Tom. Great. That's what we like to hear. Appreciate it.
I'm a member, too.
Thanks.
We usually see that issue with Google Mail, partly because Google has that all mail thing. Google never deletes any mail, even when you tell it to delete. It goes into the all mail, just in case you ever want that mail back. And so sometimes it comes back.
Yep, and it's a... but you can do IMAP so that you can essentially see your stuff. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is our friend Scott from Buffalo, New York. Hiya, Scott. What's up?
I have a friend with an iPhone 6, and now the storage has become full on iPhone 6. And I was suggesting that maybe she could use an external drive. Her iCloud is also full, free iCloud. And so she should maybe use an external drive. And what would you recommend for that?
You can't. You can't.
That was easy.
You can't use an external drive for more storage. There are USB. I've seen USB dongles that have a lightning port on one side and USB-A on the other side. You can transfer files to the dongle and delete them from the phone. And then when you want them back, you have to transfer them from the dongle and transfer them back to the phone.
But you can't make it automatic, and there's no like backup feature.
Right. You're more like backups rather than.
Well, you can back up your phone with iTunes.
She has a very old computer, and I don't think iTunes is not going to work for her at all.
It should.
I don't know.
What is her?
I was looking for some external drive that she could throw things from there for. Photographs from her iPhone onto that.
Well, there are settings on the phone where you can say, especially in the photo library. Well, then we get to your second issue. In the photo library, you can sync to the cloud, and there's a setting called Optimize Photos. So it offloads photos from your phone, deletes them from your phone, and leaves them in the cloud so you can still see them when you want to. But then you do pay more for cloud storage. The 99 cents a month for 50 gigs isn't too bad, but it does mean you have to do that.
Or you can use Google Photos, and if you store it in the
Google Cloud.
Yeah, if they store it in whatever that format is.
Yes, but Google Cloud, the Google Photos app looks at your Apple camera roll.
Yeah.
And you delete it from the camera roll to make space, it's deleted from Google Photos because it syncs.
Yeah.
The other option is the iPhone 6 is pretty old, and Apple just released the new iPhone SE, second generation, that starts at $499 with, I think it's 64 gigs of storage, as low as $9.54 a month with trade-in. So a lot of people that have iPhone 5s and 6s, in fact, for a previous caller that had a 5 or 5S, whatever it was, you may want to look at upgrading to the new iPhone SE because it comes with 64 gigs of storage minimum, and you can get it at 128 or 256. I'm guessing she probably has 16 gigs of storage on that phone because that was common back then. Some of the very early iPhones had 4 gigs. That's 10 years ago.
So you can pay $10 a month for a new phone or 99 cents a month for 50 gigs of cloud storage.
Right, basically. Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Good advice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the iPhone SE is it's pretty much an iPhone 11 in the smaller size. It's a 4.7-inch phone. Doesn't have the fanciest cameras. It has the 11 camera, not the 11 Pro camera. But it's a really interesting buy now, especially at the $399 price.
Well, and I believe that
it's like the Pixel 4a.
Apple has followed, has learned from what Google did with the Pixel 3a and the Pixel 4a. People buy them in droves.
Yeah,
and so they understand that there is a just below flagship level that they were not hitting.
Well, that's almost what Apple did this year with the iPhone 11 was the $799 model, and the 11 Pro was the $999 model.
Right.
But
still, just, that $500 price point
makes a difference.
Yep. Makes a difference. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joel from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Joel?
Yes, I was wondering, since Goldcrest is out of business, where does a hobbyist go for small parts?
You got to do it online.
Online. There's nothing available in the city anymore?
Yeah, not that I've been able to find. I mean, they were the greatest source for electronic components. I mean, they were the one salvation once Radio Shack left.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, no, I just had to order some toroids, and literally I had to do it online because you're not going to find it around here. All these.
Who's it? What's his name? Jeff on Ellens Creek Road. Microworks.
Oh, Microworks has some parts. Okay.
Yeah, they have some stuff, but they're mostly a computer store. But they do sell some computer components. But
yeah,
not,
but
not
if you're looking for any switches and all this other stuff or cables and all that, you can shop online and get it pretty quick.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep. Oh, I'm Jazzomatic.
That's what we like to hear. Thanks, Joel. That's right. You can be a Jazzomatic member, too. A minimum pledge of $10 a month for as many months as you like. And it's a little nibble rather than a big bite all at once. You can do that online, or you can do that by giving us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. It would be best at this moment, really, to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We've got, as always happens, the phones are jamming up at the end of the show. We're not going to get to everybody. That's just the way the world works. But we are going to go to Mike from Batavia, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hi there. Hi, guys. Steve Ray put an article from Tom's Hardware out on the Soundbites thing about mesh routers. And I was going to ask him whether he had a favorite.
Yeah. Oh, it's
that's a good question.
Good question. Right now, we tend to like the Eero the best.
Eero? How do you spell
that? E-E-R-O. Didn't they get bought by Amazon?
I think they did.
And then we're not sure we like that anymore. We right. we used to do the Ring doorbells, and then they got bought by Amazon, and we're not sure we like that anymore. Right.
I have an Orbi, which does mesh.
I love the Orbi. I got this.
Yeah, Netgear.
Yeah, we've had problems with Netgear in the past. We haven't tried any recent ones, but
so far the Orbi has been rock
solid. The Orbi is so sweet in that you can go into the control panel on a web browser and see everything that's up. It's very user friendly.
Many of the higher end ones
do that.
Yeah, I mean, and the Orbi with the satellite with it, you know, you can spread Wi-Fi throughout the whole house.
Yeah,
we tried the Google Nest router, and we're disappointed.
Really,
we expected better from Google. It's a great Google Assistant.
Right, and that is nice. It is a Google Assistant in every node. But like I said, I have the Orbi. I've heard very good things about the Eero. So those are the two right now that we would recommend.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's going to be the Orbi. Okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Thanks a lot. I'm a member of Ask Nick. I'm subscribed to Ask Nick, and I am a member.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Hi there.
A lot of the routers now have additional features with parental control options, so you know you can do the MAC address of your kid's tablet and say it shuts off at 9 p.m. because it's bedtime. You can manage your neighbors, your relatives.
manage
your neighbor's router. You set up a router for your mom, so you can manage their router too from your house.
Yep. Right, and most of them now make it very easy to do something like a guest network. Turning it on and making it work is real easy. And that, you know, not so useful right now that nobody's leaving their house. But when your kids have friends over all the time, putting them all on a separate network is probably not a bad idea. And having that second network for company is really actually pretty nice. So in terms of a mesh network, for those of you who don't know, it's multiple routers around your house that all talk to each other to spread out the signal to places it normally wouldn't reach. One of the issues with any sort of router is the fact that it only extends so far.
Yeah.
But if you have a second satellite in that within the first one's reach, then it can extend the reach that much farther.
Well, like Steve was saying before, you know, if you've got it, say, at one end of the house and all of a sudden you want to do some stuff in the kitchen, where you can spread out on the kitchen table and all that type of stuff. Having it out there, you know, and putting one of those mesh units out there, again, is spreading it that might otherwise be a dead zone or very, you know, it might get there, but maybe a very slow and not reliable connection. This affords you that capability. And like we're going back and saying that more and more folks are, because of the quarantine, you know, stay home order, everybody's trying to go to their end of the house.
Right, to get away from each other.
And do their thing, especially while the kids, you know, they're trying to do their studying.
Right.
You know, and they don't want, depending on the kids, you know, going to different parts of the house, and you want to watch a movie, or you got to have a conference. Okay, thank you very much. It gives you that flexibility to be all around the house.
Right. It's a really nice idea. Some of the versions have been terrible. The back channel is bad, or it interferes with the front channel. But the Orbi is very good, and the Eero is very good. And I'm sorry to hear that the Google one is not that very good, because I was
maybe
just
they
surprised.
Repaired the problems that we had,
because we looked at them when they were.
I told you.
Thanks. They might have made it better in the couple of years since we first looked at them.
No, yeah.
Because Mesh has been growing and upgrading themselves.
Yeah.
Too.
Well,
yeah.
Because now they did at least put out a second version, because now each node is an assistant, a Google assistant.
We had the Google Nest router. We had an Apple HomePod and an Amazon device, all within the same room, and firing commands at them. See who answered first. See who heard the other one answer, and then start answering it. It was kind of one of the things we found was really neat is with the Google, we almost when music was playing loudly, we almost had to yell for the Google to hear us to turn down the music. But it was a little freaky with the Apple HomePod that we could whisper when the music was really cranked up, and Siri would turn down the music. which is a little disconcerting.
We sometimes have to yell at the Amazon Echo to be heard as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Something's playing loud.
Alexa, tell me a joke.
Stop that. That was Steve Ray, if you want to write in. That was Steve Ray.
She has some really good dad jokes.
Yeah, she does have good dad jokes.
Hey, Google, pledge to Jazz
91. That's the next one.
Yeah.
You can't say that to Siri, because she would say, let me look on the web for you.
Yeah, right.
Hey, nothing wrong.
I have turned off the buying feature on the Amazon Echo, because there were a couple of television commercials that set it off.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh. Uh-uh.
That could be dangerous.
There was a story a couple of years ago around Christmas time. Kids who didn't get what they wanted for Christmas or ahead of time would tell Amazon to order it.
Right.
The people apparently had one-click buying turned on, and it showed up at the door. And apparently people were calling the news stations to say this was happening. So the news people read it on the air, Amazon order me a dollhouse. And then in that next week, another whole bunch of people got dollhouses. Now, part of me found it interesting is it just said a dollhouse, and it ordered a dollhouse.
Yeah.
Which one did it pick? How did it decide which one to pick?
It picked the Amazon
Amazon buyer's choice.
Favorite.
Best choice, whatever it is.
Yeah, right. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. First, let me thank everybody who pledged. Bless you all. It's you people who keep us on the air, and we are honored that you have done so. That's Jenna, Catherine, Al, Timothy, Dolores, Francis, and Paul. Thank you so much for helping to keep this show alive, for backing us, for all of that. Thank you so much. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back with a whole nother show next week. So be good to each other. Stay safe. Stay socially separated. And we will see you in just 166 hours. Thanks.